Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this regular city council meeting of March 13th to order. If you'd all please rise. Join the council in a short silent prayer as we pray for wisdom and guidance on our decisions tonight. And now join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May be seated. Item 1.4 on the council agenda is the roll call, and I see that all members are present, council members. And item 1.5 on our agenda is the citizen input, and I understand Levi Bridges was going to be here to speak. And it sounds like Levi Bridges is a no-show. So anybody else want to talk about this? No? Yes? Dangerous dog? No?
Not if he's not here.
Okay.
Raise the issue.
But thank you for coming. Item 2 is the approval of tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Bridges comes later. We may allow him to speak later, but at the moment, he's missed his opportunity. Item 3 is our consent agenda. I entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I make that motion.
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So moved to item 4.1, bond refinance, and I understand we have Jim Nelson with us tonight from D.A. Davidson and Company, and he has a discussion that he wants to bring, and Spencer, I think, is going to set the stage.
Yes, thank you very much. As you know, about a year ago, we were talking quite heavily about refinancing one of our bonds, $3.2 million bond that we have for Main Street, and we wanted to take advantage of the great rates that are out there right now. We were working with a gentleman, Wade and I just kept on getting the feeling that the ball was being dropped and being dropped and being dropped, and so finally we thought, well, we got to move on and do this with someone else if we're going to take advantage of these rates. And so Jim Nelson with D.A. Davidson is someone that Wade and I have both met numerous times at conferences and trainings, things all over the state. And so we thought, well, let's give Jim a call and see if he can help us take advantage of these rates that are out there today. And I believe you helped the city with the...
Yeah, with the original city ball issue.
Okay. So there's some history there.
Probably in 2010.
Okay. Well, so with that, I'll give the time to you, and you can walk the city through. Here's, you can click forward and back.
Okay, great. Thank you.
There's a pointer there, too.
Okay.
Mayor, council members, honored to be here. Again, Jim Nelson with D.A. Davidson. I'm a bond underwriter, financial consultant. I work with a large number of cities all over the state. So I want to talk to you on this refinancing of your 2010 bonds for interest cost savings. And if we turn to page 1, one of the things to keep in mind is that you would be refinancing a bond in advance of the call date. So you only have one opportunity, so to speak, to go to the well. Different than a mortgage that can be refinanced multiple times. And so the industry benchmark is to achieve a net present value savings percent of 5% or greater. So just keep that in mind as we look at these rates. The other one is that after the 2008 economic meltdown, a number of banks went to the sidelines, were not willing to do fixed interest rates longer than 5 years. And that whole market has really changed in the last 6 months. And so banks have really been aggressive on their pricing. And if you're looking at a financing of 15 years or less, probably a private placement directly to a bank is the way to go. Whereas the bond market rates spiked up in the fourth quarter of 2016, a full 1%, and the bank rates didn't go up as fast as that. So it's kind of interesting to see that. It's we're kind of in a state of flux now on how things are changing in the market. If you look at page two, you can see, you know, we hit an all-time low here in July of 2016, and then starting in September, October, November, rates really spiked up. We thought the November increase of 0.5% may have been an overreaction to the presidential election, and so it made sense to wait, because usually the volume is lower in the first quarter of the year. So we saw rates come down, but then they started to creep back up. So that's the bond market. Page three, again, just gives you a quick summary of a public bond sale, which your current rating grade is A+. When you prepare for a public bond sale, it takes more time of staff, a number of hours of staff. There's the preparation of a preliminary official statement. There's a rating presentation, and it typically takes about anywhere to, I would say, 6 weeks longer than a private placement. Whereas a private placement can happen real fast. I'll show you a schedule that potentially you could receive a fixed interest rate as soon as, say, March 31st, April 3rd. And so that's something to think about when you're in a rising interest rate environment. And the bond would be placed directly to a bank in their portfolio. They would earn tax-exempt interest rate, and then they would commit to a fixed interest rate for a period of approximately 15 years. Any questions so far? So when you look at page four, you can see your outstanding payments here, the far right. You're paying roughly $243,000 to $245,000 a year. Your bonds are not callable, prepayable, until June 1st, 2020. So you typically would not, you definitely would not want to refinance any bonds prior to June 1st, 2020. And then the question is, what's the best combination of bonds to refinance after June 1st, 2020? And the answer, based on current rates, is to focus just on the years 2026 to 2035. So the blue column shows the payments that are proposed to be refinanced. The red column shows the payments that would just remain outstanding and would not change. So if the bonds are refinanced, then it's taking the new refinancing schedule plus the middle column, and then you get your new payments. So when we talk about the savings, we're basically talking about what the annual savings would be compared to that $240,000 figure when you add in the refinancing plus the portion that's not being refinanced. Sounds kind of confusing, but you'll see.
Let me ask you a basic question, Jim. Are you saying if we refinance, we're going to save $1.4 million?
No.
You're not saying that.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the portion of the $4.6 million schedule that $1.4 million would not be refinanced. And the $3,211,000 would be refinanced. Those interest rates are 4.4% to 4.65%. So those are the highest interest rates.
Okay.
We'll skip that page. We talked about the A-plus rating. Now we're on to, if you refinance out to the original final payment date of 2035, then you can see the average annual savings are only $3,234, the total net savings, $61,439. And the key there is when you look at the lower yellow bar, 2.71%, you're well below the 5% threshold. So we can just kind of skip that option, but it's interesting to compare it to the other ones. Now here's the Treasury note yield trend, and if you look to the far right, you can see we're at a much lower level compared to the bond market, and that's why the private placement market is currently recommended. Page eight, this is really kind of the bottom line. So now we see, if you look to the far right, you could potentially achieve a total net savings of $411,000. The net present value savings percent is 7.8%. 5.9%, so you're above the 5% threshold. But the key there is it's similar to refinancing your mortgage and shortening the term, like when you go from a 30-year mortgage to a 15-year mortgage. So you would shorten up this bond, this portion of the bond, by 4 years, increase your annual payments by roughly $38,000 to $40,000 a year. But then in exchange for that, you get to the last 4 years and you save anywhere from $240,000 to $245,000, for a total net savings of $411,000. If interest rates came in, say, 0.25% lower, then your total net savings would increase by about $56,000. So there's a little footnote there at the bottom where it said if 2.94%, then savings increase to $468,000. Correct, yeah. And if rates went up, then your savings would be down by approximately $56,000. And so if you decide to move forward with this private placement option, it all is totally dependent on receiving favorable bids from the banks and subject to market conditions. So if we start the process, the bids come in, and you're not achieving your savings goals, then we just stop the presses at that point. There's no charge to the city, and then you just wait to see if the market comes back.
So then with our, as far as our bond is concerned, I just want to make sure I have this right also. With us, regardless of who we go with, we're going to have a contract and we're going to have a rate and we're going to have our annual payments.
Correct.
So for us, I don't know that it matters to us if it's private placement or not. We want to save the taxpayer dollars.
Right. Yeah.
So we have two slides back on slide six. There's, if we keep the ending term where it is now and just refinance with the same ending term, 2035, we would see every year we would save $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a year. If we go forward to slide eight, if we cut 4 years off the life of the loan, so it will mature in 2031 as opposed to 2035, we would pay an extra $20,000 to $40,000 a year for the life of that loan, but then we'd see the savings at the end. I wanted Jim to put these two schedules together so we could see the differences, or see the stark difference between those two options. The last time we spoke, it sounded like the council was more in favor of shortening up the life of the loan. So that's the four-year option here. And the other thing I wanted to point out as we're talking about this, considering the options here, is do we have the ability to spend an extra $35,000 to $40,000 a year on this payment? In lieu of our changes that we made with our water and sewer utility, our internal utility tax that we placed on the water and sewer funds, we have extra money that we haven't had in the past. And so with that, my recommendation is that we go with something like this to save $400,000. If we play the long game here, and we do have the ability, and certainly it's a council decision, and it's do we want to tie up an extra $40,000 a year to save more money at the end? That's just some of the kind of give and take that I want you to be mulling over. Sorry.
Great input. And then the last page shows the schedule going forward. And then if it's your choice to move forward on this, we would send out a request for proposal to the banks on March 17th. Receive those bids back on March 31st, put together a summary for Wade and Spencer, and talk about the selection of the bank with the lowest fixed interest cost. and I think in talking with Spencer this evening, maybe have the presentation of the bond ordinance at your April 3rd meeting. But effectively, you would be able to lock down the interest rate sometime, I would say, between March 31st and April 3rd. And then it would, the issue would officially close exchange of money on May 11th. But again, the interest rate would be pretty well locked down in early April. So this is the example, too, how you can move much faster with a private placement compared to a bond, public sale. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Council?
And ultimately, tonight, we're just wondering, path A or B, is this something that, that we want to pursue as a council? So.
Any comments?
Well, I think that it's pretty obvious the savings difference is extreme, and we'd pay a little bit extra each year, but we'd end up saving basically those last, almost those last two payments completely. If you look, the last two years.
So we cut the term by 2 years?
You don't have the payments for that one, but if you look at the amount, I believe if you look at the amount that we're paying extra, it works out to be a $400,000 savings. So you're basically saving those last two payments, even though you're not paying them. You're paying them ahead.
Yeah.
So
you're saving on the interest plus whatever you're paying ahead. That's where you get your 4 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're basically paying, that's why we're saving $400,000 as opposed to $61,000.
Yeah. Kind of going from a 30-year mortgage to a 25-year mortgage.
Yeah.
And then what are the savings? And your payments go up, but then you save all that money at the end with paying less than interest.
So we're supposed to get like a 0.25% to 0.5% hike on the mortgage here in April. Does this work the same way when that goes up? Does this go up? Is it better to lock in now?
Yeah, well, that's why if you decide to move forward, we'll immediately send the RFP, request for proposal, to the banks, give them 2 weeks to respond, and then once they submit it, a decision, and we can lock them down at that point. If we wait longer, then as the Fed raises rates, then the bank will raise their rate. You're a bank qualified issuer, which means that that lowers your interest cost by about 0.25%, and then we're all fortunate to be in a market right now where the banks are very aggressive on their pricing. So their incentive is it's tax exempt, it's bank qualified, and then they get to have 100% of the bonds in their portfolio versus going out on the public bond market and maybe buying a smaller piece of it. This way they can put their effort in, do their own credit analysis, and then if they win it, they get 100% of the bonds, and they like that.
And regardless of what direction we go tonight, that's not set in stone, but that's what we're doing. We have through the April 1st or April 3rd or the end of March. So if interest rates spike way up, things just go to heck, and we're losing all the savings that we want to see. We can hold off another month or two and see what happens.
Yeah.
Same thing if all of a sudden there was something in the news that seemed to indicate that rates were going to head down. Then we could postpone things. We could look at the bank bids, but maybe all of a sudden the bond market starts trending down, and you hate to say it, but bad news always helps the bond market. But if all of a sudden the bond market rates start trending down, then we'd be the first to call up Wade and Spencer and say, we think you should slow down. Let's just see if we can follow the market down and achieve higher savings by doing that. So it's the best of both worlds. Last year, when your bond ordinance was approved, the private placement market was not as active as it is now. And so now it's become more of a standard practice where the ordinance is written, where it gives you that flexibility to either do a public bond sale or a private placement. I'm known as a bond underwriter with the public bond sale. a known as a placement agent with a private placement. And so I think your bond term simply we would then update, or should either amend the last year's bond ordinance or write a completely new one with the flexible language in there, so you could take advantage of both market conditions.
So how much does it cost the city for this service?
For everyone involved?
The city, yeah, as far as...
Yes, so it's...
The fee.
I thought I'd get that question.
Yeah.
So the total cost would be estimated to be around $32,000, but that's already built in and sized into the refinancing, into the principal amount. So the numbers that I'm showing you are net savings with all the financing costs deducted. And so there's no out-of-pocket cost to the city, and that $32,000 estimate, that's already been deducted from the $411,000 as well as the net present value dollar savings.
That's why you said we can move forward, but if we don't approve it down the road, then we don't have to pay that fee.
Correct.
Just if we, you know, sign on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so our next steps?
So we should, as a council, form a consensus of what we want from these packages, agree to that, and then you create a motion for approval for the administration to act on issue on this bond issue when the market's right.
We don't need a formal motion tonight. We just need a
consensus.
Okay.
And then when they come back with them.
But then we don't want to have to vote on it again to do it, do we?
Do you remember?
Shouldn't we leave the decision up to you, Spencer, you and Wade?
That would be part of the bond ordinance that we pushed together with this.
What John's asking is pretty much what we did when we had that other company who let us down. And what you guys did, if I remember correctly, and we can research it, and sorry I didn't do it beforehand, I didn't think about it, but you can research it and see, but I believe it said that what you gave Spencer and myself the authority to do was to move forward, and when they came back and said, this is the time to do it, pull the trigger, okay? Well, the knuckleheads that we had before, and I definitely would never recommend those people again, ever. That's when we had Jim here. But when, if they'd come back to us, like they should have, like 2 months later or whatever, said, okay, now's the time, we would have the authority to say, yes, go. We would come back to council and say, this is what it is. And then you guys would have formally approved it at that point. My concern is based on what Jim just said, as far as when those interest rates are going up. I'm looking at the time, the next council meeting 2 weeks from now is on the 27th. And so, would that be enough time, Jim, to approve it? I mean, we'll be okay then, or should we?
On the 27th.
27th, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
We'll be okay.
I can talk to Cynthia Weed, sure. Yeah.
Okay. I just don't want to miss another window of opportunity. We've already missed one window to have it lowered.
And to clarify, Wade is saying it's known as the delegation parameter. So the state of Washington changed the laws a few years ago. Because it used to be that city councils would have to scramble and do a special meeting when the market is right. And so now in the new ordinance, updated ordinance that Cynthia Weed will prepare, she'll contact me and ask me, okay, what are the parameters? And it would be things like, the bond will not exceed a certain dollar amount. The net borrowing cost would not exceed a certain amount. And then it delegates authority to sign the bond purchase agreement to Wade and Spencer. And so I think that's what you're referring to.
Yep.
It delegates authority to the city staff. We always want to have two people in case somebody's out sick. But then in consultation with me, then they can decide, okay, are we achieving our savings goals? And is now the time we want to pull the trigger. So as an example, if we go through the request for proposal process from the banks and we get the lowest bid, but it just doesn't help you achieve your savings goals, then we say stop the presses and we watch the treasury market. If the treasury market's, starts trending down, then we call the bank that won and say, okay, what's your updated rate? And then we check in every week. And then we can pull that trigger real fast. Or, if the
public bond market all of a sudden has a correction and rates start trending down, then you can easily switch over and turn it into a public bond sale.
So just to be clear, Jim, based on, again, what John was asking, is so we have the time, then you feel, for your person to develop that motion and ordinance based on those parameters and bring it back to council on the 27th?
Yes, yep.
So we'll have that ready for you on the 27th. Pretty much what it looked like before, but a little more, a little tighter, I believe.
In setting the conditions that we would like to achieve, I'm very happy with that four-year shortfall.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what I would recommend.
I said pull the trigger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what we're going to look at. That's what we'd like to have.
What
okay.
You're presenting or more. There.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or more.
But then the question is, you know, what if it's 400,000? And so like we can work that's aggressively as possible.
Greater range.
Yeah.
Yeah. And any amount of
savings is great. But
I would say our goal is 400,000 or more.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Since you were looking for a specific figure.
And as an example, some of the parameters when we look at page 8, it might read that, because we always go with high estimates, it might read that the refunding bond amount, because all of a sudden if rates drop, then it means you could refinance more bonds. And so it might read that the bond will not exceed $2.5 million, or it might read it will not exceed $3 million, just to give you that flexibility in case the rates do drop, but most likely it's going to be close to what's on page 8. And then the net borrowing cost might read that it's not going to exceed, you know, 3.25% or something like that. So you build in enough of a cushion that, you know, you still have that flexibility. It's going to be a little bit, those parameters will be set a little bit higher than what's on this page, except, like, you know, if you want a total net savings, then I can work with Wade and Spencer on that.
I think that's what we want. I don't think, are you asking us if we're interested in more debt?
No, I'm just saying.
Sounded like you were.
Oh, sorry. I'm just saying don't be alarmed if in the bond ordinance on the quote not to exceed parameters.
Okay.
If all of a sudden you see a figure that says not to exceed $2.5 million, and then you're going, wait a second, Jim told us the amount would be $2,155,000. And the only reason we set those higher parameters in there is that if the bond market, if the interest rates dropped and you could still achieve the same amount of savings, but maybe you can refinance more bonds, then it, again, it gives you that flexibility.
Yeah.
It's sort of a confusing one.
If you had any others,
yeah,
you could roll it into one.
Yeah. Same thing on the net present value savings percent. A lot of times we'll see, it'll say that the city wants to achieve a minimum net present value savings percent of, say, 4% or greater, or 5% or greater. And usually that's the highest number we see. But if you put it down like at 7.5%, and then all of a sudden, you know, rates are just a little bit higher and it's like 7.4%, then it doesn't give you enough flexibility. It means that if we tighten down those parameters too much, then you have to come back and adopt another bond ordinance.
So when we look at this bond, this $3.2 million debt that we have, we see that as one bond, but actually on the back end, it's made up of a series of different bonds that go into that one bond, that one debt that we have. And so the portion of that that we can refinance, that's what we see.
Okay. Sorry, hopefully I didn't confuse you. Too many details.
That bond ordinance that would delegate the authority to Wade and myself, that would be prepared by our bond council by Cynthia Weed or her representative and brought back for council by Cynthia Weed or her representative. That would be
correct. That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
I
think that's what we want to do. Mm-hmm. Do you need any other information from us?
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jim, thank you very much for
thank
coming
you all.
On.
Yeah, nice to see you. Take care.
Okay, we'll move forward with that then.
Yep, thank you. We'll move to item 4.2, adjustment to collective bargaining agreement with the Union of Operating Engineers. And Wade.
Mayor, Council, good evening. As you all know, we just renegotiated this contract last year and went through it, and we thought it was really good and tight, but unfortunately, the union that represents, the union representative who represents our folks down at Public Works, neglected to put in a CDL, commercial driver's license, clause that had been in the contract for a long time. Somehow it got left out, and it came up when one of our people asked about it when they were renewing their license. And so we went and looked at it again, and the union called me in a panic and said, can we put this in? I said, well, I'll have to ask the council, and it should be in there, and we'll bring that up for us. If you get a chance to read it, here it is. Basically, it says, it doesn't say this, but it applies, and the practice is our employees will get their license themselves, work through it, pay for it, and get it. And once they have it, if they come to us with it, obviously, but once they have it, then we will pay for the cost of the physical and for renewing the license every year, which we've done for a long time. So all this really does, long way of saying that we're putting in the contract, which should have been in there anyway. We just need council approval to add that back in the contract. Questions?
Okay. It's a cleanup item.
Cleanup, yep.
Yep, so...
Did we do this in the format of a policy rather than putting it back into the contract?
No, it needs to go back in the contract. It's what I'm told. So...
By legal.
But the city public works department could have a policy, an employment policy, to maintain CDLs.
I suppose so, but...
I mean, you got...
Right.
You have policies that, you know, employment policies that are not in the contract.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not necessary that this needs to be in the contract. We could have a working policy at Public Works that once a CDL is obtained by an individual, that we will maintain that CDL as long as that individual is employed.
I suppose you could. The union
in the contract. Like, yeah. If you go back into the, if you put it back into the contract, they could. What I'm afraid of is that an employee, an individual with CDL, could be worth more money than a non-CDL employee.
Wait.
Yeah, sure.
Reading, this is the first time about this. Reading the way this is, and without Kelly Conkright here, I'm kind of winging this, but the way this is, if we just put it in policy and start giving this to them, it's going to be a gift to public funds because we're giving something to the employees, a benefit, without negotiating it. So this is something that would need to be in a letter of understanding in the employment contract.
And it was previously in the contract.
It was in the contract. It's been this way for probably after that. I don't know, but
and this is just to maintain their CDL and the physical.
Yeah,
not
they have
actually
to pay
paying for their CDL $25,000. It's just to maintain.
It helps them.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah, because a lot of people don't have the vehicles to go and take the CDL, so they utilize the city vehicles.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay. Entertain a motion to amend the International Union of Operating Engineers agreement to add the CDL language.
I am a second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Just a quick question. It's not going to open up the contract for negotiation.
No, no, no.
Anything
no.
else, is it?
This is already, we already talked to the, no.
A letter of understanding like this tags on to that contract until the contract expires, and then the sheet will be rolled into the next.
Okay.
All right. Item 4.3 is our Cleanup Days proclamation, which I will read. The 20th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. Whereas the city, in conjunction with Adams County, Consolidated Disposal, Services Inc., Washington Carriers, Royal Organics, Oscar's Towing, Experienced Merchandise of Adams County Developmental Center, and Allied Waste, volunteers and citizens will join together to beautify the city. And whereas the city encourages our residents to dispose of old junk vehicles, appliances, yard debris, yard vegetation, and old computers and televisions in an effort to improve the appearance of the community. And whereas Students from our schools are encouraged to help clean up areas around their schools, and citizens are encouraged to pick up litter when they're out on walks around the city. Now therefore, I do hereby designate the week of April 3rd through April 8th, 2017, as the 20th annual Othello Spring Cleanup Days. And I urge our citizens, civic clubs, and organizations to join together to make Othello a more attractive, friendly place to visit and live. Signed this 13th day of March, 2017, Mayor Sean Logan. So, also, this last weekend, I also want to thank the police explorers and the church youth groups. They were out cleaning up the community, preparing for the Sandhill Crane Festival. They want the place looking spiffy. So, I just really appreciate it.
15 people from our church on 14th.
Excellent.
And first.
That's when all the bags are sitting.
Yes.
Cool. Good job.
Yep. Thank you very much. So I just wanted to thank all those volunteers that work to help us keep our town clean.
So to add to that, is there any way, because they did a real good job, very good job, so is there any way we can run, I don't know if they ran it today, run the sweeper truck?
Exactly what I was going to bring up.
We need to sweep it out. But then there's still a lot of little debris that it doesn't look good.
Yep. It doesn't pick it up. It's hard to pick it up.
Curbside.
Yep. It's been a rough winter, and as you guys know.
Yeah.
So I haven't heard from Terry exactly when he's going to run that, but I'll ask and see. That's a good
thank
point.
You.
Maybe get it on Facebook so people can keep their cars off of the sides of the roads, you know, kind of map out a route.
Yeah. We'll try.
Yeah,
and there was a missing clause in that proclamation where city council members, as by virtue of being elected to the city council, have authority to pick one car they want rid of out of off the streets.
Seriously?
No. But we could all have one if we wanted.
I've got a whole list for you.
Yeah, I do. All right, let's move on. Item 4.4, garbage rate ordinance, I'm sorry. And Spencer, you met with the committee, talked about rates.
CBHA recently approached the city regarding the compactors at their new facility. They're requesting a 20 and a 25 yard or a 25 yard compactor at their new site. The city, the garbage rates only offer 30, 35, and 40 for the size of compactors. So I met with the garbage committee to discuss, do we want to offer rates for a 20 and a 25? Much like the 30, 35, and 40. So I've got the column up here. These are the new ones that we were considering, the 20, 25, that's not in the rate structure anymore. What we have are rates for the 30, 35, and 40 yard compactors. And so when I had a conversation with the garbage committee, and we discussed all kinds of different ways of coming up with a new rate for the 20 or 25, if we want to go that direction. There's the rate that we charge for the compactors is this bottom line. This is the customer charge rate, $358, $413, and $455. And that's made up of two different pieces. There's the rate that CDSI charges us, 2.6 flat rate across the board, and the rate that we add to cover the city expenses, $132, $187, So at first we thought, well, here's
you're charging $132 to what? Send a bill?
Well, that would be a portion of the employee cost, because we have one full-time employee that's all she does. We have the paper, the bill, when Wade and I spent working on rates, it's a portion of our cost. So
I think you're right.
So there's a portion of this we'll pay for the new.
But to understand this, everybody, you need to know that this is just a pickup fee.
Yes.
This is just per pickup charge.
Yes.
Okay? So if you do 4 pickups in a month, then that charge is times 4. And then there's a charge on your garbage as well when it goes to the landfill.
Isn't that a monthly fee?
So, yeah, so this is the monthly fee.
Per pickup.
Or the per pickup fee. And then on top of that, they pay the landfill fee.
The tonnage fee.
For the amount of garbage that they produce. So what we were looking at the rates. First of all, we're not quite sure why the city has graduating rate schedule here. We tried to mirror this graduating rate schedule at first on some of these other examples that you can see on down. Ultimately, in the committee, we thought, well, the cost to the city is the exact same regardless of the size of coder. So first of all, let's keep the city fee the same across the board. We didn't want to address the 35 and 40 yard compactors right now because we're going to have to come back at the end of the year to discuss these rates anyway. So
the 40 yard should be taken off completely because Consolidated Waste Disposal cannot pick up 40 yard compactor.
Yeah, I don't know that we have.
No, they don't have compactors, 35 yard.
Yeah, that's the highest compactor they can go right now. So they don't have the service to pick up a 40. So,
I don't know that.
I know that. Because
we do pick up 40 yard drop boxes. We pick, in fact, we actually pick up 45 yard drop boxes.
Yeah, but not a compactor because a compactor.
We have no 40 yard compactor.
I wanted to go to one and they couldn't service me because it wouldn't be long enough of a truck. So I know that. Okay.
So,
but anyway, well,
and that's a great point. And later on in the year, right now we are working on a 3-year ordinance that expires this year, so we can easily come back and address that later on in the year when we have time to research that and make sure that's what we want to do with a 40-yard container. Tonight, what we want to do is consider what charge are we going to charge for the 25-yard compactors. Ultimately, option A is the option that the committee rested on. And if the committee, if you have a few comments that you wanted to share, you can go into those. Some of the things that we talked about, the admin cost of the city is the same regardless. If a toter is, if we have a guy in a truck picking up a 20 or a 30, it's a guy in a truck picking up the toter, regardless of the size.
So the idea is later in the year when we run out, when we end our contract, is that we will be looking at making a flat admin fee across the board. But our idea for right now is that we don't want to encourage them using smaller compactors. Okay. And there's not a lot of difference between a 25 and a 30, so we opted to go with just the 132 for the 20 and 25, which is the same as the 30. And like we said, that's only going to, you know, that's basically going to be until the end of the year when we come back and address these further.
Mm-hmm. So we prepared an ordinance based on that recommendation, and the attached ordinance would include option A. For these rates here. I forwarded a copy of this to CDSI because they were curious what we were going to do, and I said, well, this is what the committee was looking at. We may go that way, but it's subject to council approval as a whole. So one of their questions was, well, you know, why can't we get a graduating rate when the other toters do? And so I walked through the same reasoning that we just walked through tonight with them, and they thought, oh yeah, I can see that. So they see the graduating rate with the amount of garbage that they produce, not with the monthly fee. That's that other side that we've done.
Yeah, and one of the things I would like to see when we come back to this later in the year is that we've done our due diligence and have researched on exactly what our rate should be for that admin fee and how much we put into it.
Mm-hmm. What do we got right now? How many spent?
For what?
Citywide, 3 compactors?
Oh, for the, I don't have that off the top of my head.
Walmart, Simplot, McCain.
Yeah. And then CDHA wants to do one?
Yeah, they might be looking at 2 225s or 220s. I'm not 100% sure about that, but. maybe.
So is it the recommendation of the committee to go to option A, only until then we renegotiate the contract and then come up with a new?
With the new ordinance?
Yes.
Well, they're going to, yeah, because consolidated disposal is going to come back to the city with a cost, and they may increase their costs, so our costs will reflect their increase.
Well, our cost is going to reflect the admin, what we actually put into our portion of it.
Yeah, plus both of those.
And we're hoping to do something flat across the board because it's the same cost to us, flat across the board.
Another thing that's in that cost to the city are the alley approach improvements, $55,000 a year, just as one other thing that's built into that. So with that.
That's actually before tax.
Correct.
Yep. Do we have a different rate for Dropbox than Compactor, or is it the same?
Yes, it's a different rate.
Yes.
And you can see those in the attached ordinance is the entire ordinance for all of the garbage rates. The one change that you would see is just this little piece here for the 2025.
I'd like to see us get more money.
Well, so what we can do when we come back to visit this, one of the reasons why we didn't want to do a flat rate across the board right now is because it's come up and it's right now and they want an answer, and sure, we can do that for them. But as a city as a whole, when we look at the city fee, we want to make sure that this is something that's reasonable for the city. That it makes
so when sense the when the contract pay. Comes up for reevaluation, you'll have the solid waste committee involved in that? Well, I'm on that committee, so I'd like to voice my opinion then.
Oh, so it wasn't the solid waste committee that I met with. It was the finance committee that I met with.
It was the finance committee.
Yeah.
I was going to correct you, but
sorry.
Right. And when are we scheduled to negotiate that again?
Well, that's at the end of this year.
So we'll do that this summer, probably?
Yeah. Or fall.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our ordinance expires.
So let's go ahead and.
Yep. I'm ready for a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept Schedule A.
Okay.
I'll second. Okay.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion, Council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion.
Just one note. I know from running a compactor that at times you'll pay more for pickup charge than you will for the garbage.
Depending on what.
I mean, there's been times where we've lifted Tony's front end of his truck off the ground, you know, and he earned his money that day, but there's been other days where that compactor was, it had one ton of product in it, you know. That was $54.
Oh, 54 is the tipping fee?
Yeah.
That's $70 a ton. So the tipping fee,
Okay, let's go to item 5, unfinished business. Do we have any tonight? Yeah, Mark.
Go ahead. I'm just wondering where we're at on a city engineer.
I've got to go out for developing a request for qualifications, figure out where we're going. There's a couple of places we've advertised for them, so that's where it's a process.
Still in the process.
Okay. I'll keep you guys up.
One other thing on, I was noticing this red building over here, because they don't have a swale for wastewater. Oh. Or for.
Tile swale.
Yeah.
The red building behind the bank?
Yeah.
That is correct. They had to stop construction because of the winter. They expect it to be out there this week starting that. They also have to build constructor accesses to both Windsor and Desdemona. And they should be starting that as soon as they can get equipment out to the site. I talked to them on Thursday of last week, and they know we're watching them. Specifically, I talked to them about their access to the bank parking lot. They're not supposed to be going to the bank parking lot at all. They have no access to figure out at all.
So do they?
And
You're going to need to watch for that because they're not also supposed to have three trucks parked on the church's parking lot behind it for over 6 months now. But anyway, sorry, I didn't know.
So then the rainwater off the roof, doesn't that have to go into a dry well or something also?
So they are, they still have to install their stormwater from the sidewalk front. It will drain to the corner. There's supposed to be a landscape area at the corner of Windsor and Desdemona. And then their roof water drains to the rear and the side, which is where they have a landscape buffer, which is going to be developed as a swale. So it will be infiltrated on site.
Travis, for businesses that have been there for, that are grandfathered in, per se, like Cimarron, that this winter I got quite a bit of runoff water. I flooded three of my offices. What can we do about that?
So, technically, I do not have a, way to force them to go through and redo their stormwater system. So unfortunately, that would be a civil matter. If you had damages to a neighboring business, you would have to go after them in civil court because of failure to maintain their property. Unfortunately, isn't something that I have an ability to enforce on.
Just because their grandfather did?
Yes.
Okay. So if they ever did any improvements, we could probably then...
Yes, so there's a non-conforming section which says, depending on what the value of their improvements are, they could have to retroactively go back and do the improvements. Like, for example, the car wash with the broken handrail that's been smashed and crumbling across from Leprechaun. They are in the process of remodeling that shop, and they're going to be putting in a frozen yogurt stand. And they are working with Terry to install some swale over on the, I believe it's 9th Avenue. So it'll be in the, on the edge of the property. And then they're going to have to insert some slit drains to intercept the water that runs off onto the sidewalks. And they'll have to route it around to the side of the car wash. But because it was a change of use, that's one of the triggers for stormwater improvements.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. So along those same lines with that, I don't know what you call it. It's a nightclub. It says nightclub. I've had a few constituents complaining to me about the noise level from that nightclub. And I looked in the municipal codes today to see if I could find an ordinance. Mm-hmm. There's a nuisance ordinance, but it does not specifically address noise levels under the municipal code, under cabarets and such. I did not see a noise level.
There was a noise level.
No, it's got a nuisance portion of the code, but it doesn't say anything about noise that I could find.
Yeah.
If Chief, there is, can we start enforcing it?
Chief, you want to address that?
Let me look into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've had a couple of complaints about the vibration that is being put out of there, where people on 14th, up by the hospital, it's going in their direction and they're...
Residents?
Yes.
Have they called to complain? I mean, called us?
They've talked to me.
Okay. That
dude.
Probably help if we had a record of complaints, wouldn't it, Chief? If we had a record, so tell them to call us, and we'll look into it in the meantime. But,
okay.
But before I tell them, call us so we have a record.
Tell them to make the effort to file a
complaint.
Well, yes.
So that we can act on the complaint.
Yeah, isn't that the case, Chief? We need a record is always better that we... Yeah.
This person in particular that talked to me today, I don't think he cares that they know it's him, but... Okay.
Yeah.
Were you done, Mark? I had one other thing. The
Kelly's not here and really need to talk to Kelly, but there's things that are being done on the state level that are affecting all of the citizens of the state of Washington. And I'm wondering, is there any way that we as a city can accept the things that are being done nationally and being asked for nationally, rather than having the state make the decision for us? There's travel bans that are being put together by the federal government right now today, and our state is opposing them. But I want to know how our city feels about them, whether they accept them and would like to have them and see them, or do they care?
Well, I personally
care that somebody else from a state level is making a decision for me that I wanted when I voted. So,
okay.
Go ahead.
The governor has the ability to affect the state, so the state institutions, state patrol, state law enforcement, which would be, you know, gambling commission, wildlife, and then the state prisons or state-run jails. The state does not have the right to set policy for the sheriff's office in their jail, or how they enforce or how we enforce. They can make recommendation, but they can't set it. We actually get to make those as a policy level decision in our city, and we enforce the law. But at this point, we're continuing to cooperate with the federal government, and we'll continue, and we'll do that. And this, the decisions being made at the state level aren't affecting us.
Okay, so when we as a state of our state attorney general, on behest of our governor, is putting an injunction on a ban that has been put forth by the federal government for people from certain areas of the world coming to this country, can we as a city decide that we don't accept that, that we want to stay with the federal decision that's been made?
That's a question for Kelly for sure, but yeah.
The Attorney General, I mean, from what I've been following and what I've been reading, is suing, so it'll be going into federal court to decide whether or not it's a constitutional issue, and that they're saying the president has violated the Constitution. We don't have any way of stepping in the middle of that, and, you know, saying that we're choosing, if that is found to be unconstitutional, then, you know, we can't say we're going to stick with something that's unconstitutional.
So,
but up until then, we will enforce what you were saying is that we can follow the federal.
We, as law enforcement, we don't enforce most federal laws.
Okay.
And we especially don't enforce immigration laws.
No.
If we're doing a traffic stop or arresting somebody, their nationality or their citizenship is irrelevant, and we don't ask the question. The county jails may ask the question if they have federal grants that are paying them for, in many cases, they'll have a contract with immigration for the housing of illegal or non-documented folks. So in our case, we don't do that.
But when you do a stop and you do a driver's check, what does that give you? What type of information?
It tells us whether or not they have a driver's license. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that Washington State driver's license aren't going to be good, and I forget when the deadline is for getting on airplanes.
January of 18.
Is is because we don't verify ID with the same documents that others would require. So just about anybody can get a driver's license in our state.
Yeah, I know families, I shouldn't say families, people that come from Nebraska, Oregon, it's crazy. They come to Washington just to pull their license.
So, to answer your question, John, I had a mayor last week call me, same exact concern. And his response was he realizes as a small city, it's not going to carry any weight if we issued some kind of resolution or whatever. But what he wanted to do was talk to Peter King, who is the chief executive officer of AWC, and use our association so that we can band together as...
It's got to start somewhere, and what I'm figuring is somebody's got to pull the trigger to start it. And, you know, everybody outside of King County, outside of Seattle, you know, had Trump signs up. Everybody voted for Trump. They voted for him for what he said he was going to do. Now he's starting to try to enact those things that he said he was going to do. I, as a supporter of him, want to see those things enacted.
Sure.
So the rest of this state has to let it be known the way they feel, that one individual is not making the decision for all of us.
I don't think we can do that as a city, though. I think that's individual phone calls, especially when you're going against constitutional issues. That opens up a huge can of worms for the city. That's why we really need to get Kelly in the I agree with you. Okay, I agree with you. But
so if it gets proven constitutional, because what I've heard is that he has the constitutional right as a president of the United States to make those decisions and to enact those decisions. So if and when he wins that decision and it becomes a constitutional act,
we
will be supporting it, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's a wait and see thing?
Yeah.
I'm just tired of this, and they're not making decisions for me. It's like what they're saying about Trump, you know, he's not my president. Well, I don't feel Jay Inslee's my governor. He's not representing me.
Comments are noted. Let's wait and see. And there is some action we can take through our association. So let's wait and see what the result of the litigation is this week. It'll probably be predictable because it's all going to the same exact judge who really has a conflict of interest. But be that as it may, we'll wait. And if you want to bring it up again at a later time, that's fine. Any other unfinished business?
I'd like to have an explanation. You know, I have a lot of people ask me about our main street here on the truck situation. Not knowing, I just said, you know what, I'm just kidding. I said, well, we're going to have, Main Street's going to be same as Broadway and First. We're going to redo it all the time, every other year, you know, or 5 years or whatever. What is really going on? Are we enforcing trucks to stay off of Main? If we are, we're not doing it. And why aren't we doing it? I'd like someone to explain. So I could tell people, say, hey, they aren't supposed to be on there, but.
Chief, do you want to answer that?
We are enforcing it as best we can. We're pulling over. I mean, every time we see a vehicle, you know, and we have officers available, we're making contact, you know, finding. We have to sort it out because there are cases where they can drive. If they're making a delivery, then we can't prevent that.
I understand that.
You know, tire changes, that kind of stuff. So there's legitimate reasons, and then there's, you know, stopping and parking to go to Subway, which is not legitimate.
Right. Well, the other part of the rumor is, you know, that you people are doing your job, and you write them a ticket, but then you might as well just throw the ticket back or throw it away in the garbage because it's not getting taken care of at the other end from the judge.
Judge Brewer is retiring next month.
So
whether that's happening or not happening may be irrelevant in a month.
Okay, thank you.
Are they going to appoint somebody, or are they going to hold an election?
What I was told by the county prosecutor is that the county commissioners will appoint someone, and that the election can only happen every 2 years. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I'm being told.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other business to come before the council? All right, hearing none, we'll adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:36 p.m.